And, you know, when I first was thinking about it, it didn't hit me on how powerful the topic was. It should have, but it didn't. And I just want to be able to convey some of the things that God has impressed upon me. You know, we're in a fight, and one of the tactics in warfare is surprise. Surprise. A weaker enemy can sometimes, or most times, defeat a much larger enemy if they take them by surprise. Did you know that? And so surprise involves intelligence. You have to know something about your enemy, where they are, and all of that. But if you are taken by surprise, it doesn't matter how much Holy Ghost you have. If you're not prepared, if you haven't been really meditating on the Lord, you're liable to get in trouble. And so we want to, as the Bible said, stir up. Amen. So our main theme for this month has been taken from 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, let me see. I want to skip a few slides. I'm going to go jump around in this a little bit. I want to go to there. Okay. I want to just do a little bit of review for some of you who are not in Tuesday night Bible study. And I showed this caveman painting, and it shows some people fighting. And I said, what are their weapons? Spears. They both have spears, right? And I showed this, the Revolutionary War. You had the British fighting the Continental Army. What are they fighting with? Continental Army? Muskets. Now, does one side have spears and the other side have muskets? No. What is it? What do they both have? Muskets. Because I'm trying to show you something about warfare. No matter how far you go back, if it's going to be war, you'll find that both sides have the same type of weapon. If we go to the World War I, when airplanes started, what are they fighting with? Airplanes. Now, does one side have spears and one side have airplanes? No, they're both fighting with what? Airplanes. I'm trying to make a point. I'm trying to make a point here. We go to World War II, and they had the tanks. So both sides were fighting with tanks, okay? And we come to, let's go back to when Jesus was fighting with Satan. What were they fighting with? Words. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not spears. They're not tanks. They're not airplanes. Our weapons is the Word of God. But how often do we fight not using the Word of God? If you took a spear to a gunfight, what happens? Exactly. Exactly. This is our problem. We fight carnally most times. That's what we do. We use our words. We give them back a piece of our mind. But how did Jesus fight Satan? It is written. Now, he could have used his own words, his own personal words, but he quoted the Word of God. Satan did the same thing. It is written, he shall give his angels charge. Why don't you throw yourself off this cliff? Do you understand that the battle with Satan is through the power of words? Words. And words have the power to affect faith. Faith comes by hearing what? Words. You know, you could have been in a great mood and had some great, be just feeling good, and you went and started talking to somebody. And by the time you finish, you just really wish you had just not, you really wish that was such a big mistake. You know, you come away depressed and just, man, they just sapped all of the joy out of you. I'm telling you that the pen is mightier than the sword. So I'm going to go back to the beginning, but I just put that in there because I wanted you to start thinking about the fact of how we fight. Most of us are going to a gunfight with a spear. But as you saw, in most battles, the enemy and the two opposing sides have the same type of weapon. And if you fight with the wrong type of weapon, you are going to lose. It's just not even a question, right? It's not a question. So I'm going to skip back to the beginning because I think I should have put that in the beginning. Okay, so let's look at a fight. Let's look at a fight. When you pray, many times when you pray, you don't get the answer. Let's just be honest. Sometimes you pray and you don't get the answer. Now, why don't you get the answer? Let's look at this, because we forget that this is a fight. It's not a cakewalk. It's not a stroll down the street. In Daniel chapter 10, we see Daniel praying for something. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He was praying and he was fasting 21 days for God to give him an answer. He was praying for his people, Israel. They had been in captivity nearly 70 years. And Daniel was wondering, when was this going to end? Because he understood by the prophet Jeremiah that 70 years was all, and he was praying for his people. But for 21 days, there was no answer. You ever prayed for something and you've been praying and it still don't seem to come through? Well, I want to show you the key, what was happening, that he didn't know about. He said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. You see, you don't give up when you start to pray. You do not give up, because you're in a battle. You know, what kind of army would it be? They fire one round, the army fires back one round, and they say, okay, we better go. That's not how you fight. No, you don't quit. This is the key. A lot of times when we pray and it don't happen immediately, we say, okay, must not be God's will. You've just given in. You've just lost the battle. Daniel kept on praying. He kept 21 days. For 21 days. But on the 21st day, something happened. And it was revealed to him why it took so long. And I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. I've cut out a few verses. But he came to give the reason why it took so long. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. God hears your words. But sometimes the devil interferes with the answer. Sometimes he has the power sometimes to delay your blessing. He said, from the first day I was dispatched, God sent a messenger. But he got into a fight. Do you know there's angelic beings fighting around you all the time, fighting over you. And you have the power to help your angel. I said that last week. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come to for thy words. But he started to explain, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Do you see, Satan has a kingdom, as I taught on Tuesday night, and he's got his army organized. Jesus explained that Satan has a kingdom because he said if Satan's kingdom is divided, it would fall. And I taught Tuesday night, the reason why we don't have as much success is because a lot of times we're divided. He's not. So he has his organization, his hierarchy. He had a prince over the kingdom of Persia. And this prince withstood the angel. This angelic demonic force withstood the messenger that came with the answer until he got some help. Do you understand sometimes that when you are praying, do not stop? God heard your voice. He has dispatched the answer. Do not give up. Sometimes we give up just before our blessing, just before the answer comes. Do you understand that there is a real war going on? Now you say, well, why can't God just destroy Satan? That's not God's way. He said he sends the rain on the just And there is coming a time when Satan and his angels will get their just desserts, but it's not yet. God has a plan. We may not understand it, but he has allowed all of his creation to have free choice. Now, some of these creation have rebelled. They have rebelled. And so we have a battle going on. But many times we pray and we give up. Because it didn't happen this week, well, must not be God's will. And we go into another plan. He said here, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of... There is spiritual warfare going on all the time. But if God would open our eyes, we'd probably be scared. That's why he doesn't. But we can help our side by not giving up, by praying and seeking God. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, many times we bring a spear or a knife to a gunfight. How do we do that? Because we lean to our own understanding. We use our own intellect to try and work it out. Well, I'm going to try this. Well, if that don't work, I'm going to try that. Instead of saying, God, I don't know what to do. I'm lost. Please help me. We take our intellect against Satan's. You know who's going to lose? We are. We are. We are. This is what I'm telling you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That word carnal means fleshly. It's not from our own intellect. It's not from our own capacity. I'm not smart enough to outsmart the devil. He's been around a lot longer than me or you. But he can't outsmart the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let me show you the key to winning spiritual warfare, and it's consistency. We see that Elijah, the prophet, there had been a famine for 3.5 years in Israel. There had been no rain. And God allowed it. It was time for there to be rain. So Elijah went to pray that there should be rain. 1 Kings 18:42. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, sometimes in my life, I've faced some crises. And usually when I'm facing some really big crisis, I just want to be alone. I want to be alone. You know what I do? I can remember about 2 or 3 times in my life where I was facing some real disasters, some real catastrophes. So I went down into the basement. I went in the basement and I did just like Elijah. I just stretched myself on the floor before God and just cried out, Lord, I don't have the skill. I don't have the ability. I can't get out of this. Either you do it or this is not going to work out good. But he has never failed me, never failed me, never failed me, never failed me. Because I did not try and figure it out. He has come through. This is what Elijah did. He stretched himself. He humbled himself. He was giving the problem to God. He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And then he started looking. When you prayed, then you look for the result, right? If you pray and you trust God, then you expect something to happen. Okay, I've prayed about this. Now, he sent his servant, go look and see if you see any rain coming. Sometimes you get a discouraging word. Well, the situation has turned from bad to worse. Now they put them on life support. They were only in ICU. Now they've gone to life support. He said, there is nothing. Now, did Elijah give up? 7 times. 7 times. He said, no, you go check again. I'm going to pray some more. I'm trying to show you the key to getting your answer. The Bible says that Jesus told the parable of the unjust judge, right? He'd gone to bed and wouldn't open the door. But the person, what he kept doing? He kept on knocking. And so, you know, just to get rid of him, he gave him what he wanted. Now, God is certainly not an unjust judge. You won't have to knock. He said, if you ask for bread, he will not give you a stone. But you understand that sometimes our messages can be interfered with. That's why we have to pray in the Spirit. Amen. So you see here that the key to getting the rain was consistency. He did not take any answer until he got one. He kept on praying and praying and praying. When you are in desperation, you get on your knees. Amen. When there's no other way, you'll get on your knees. We wonder why in some countries they always have these miracles, and we, you know why? Because we have alternatives. When you have no alternative, when you have no choice, there's no other way, there's no other hope. There's only one way you can look, is up. That's why there's so many miracles in some of these other countries, because we in America, we look for other alternatives. We fight with our spear instead of with the word of God. We lean to our own understanding. I've done that so many times, and most times it never worked out well for me. Didn't work out good. But, you know, sometimes God has to put us in such a narrow, tight spot where there is no alternative. You can't turn to your left or your right. There is no hope unless God shows up. Then you need a miracle. I've had so many miracles. God has been so merciful and gracious to me. Elijah's key was consistency. He prayed the first time for it not to rain. He made one prayer and it stopped. But to get it to start to rain, God was testing him. Sometimes God will see how consistent you are. Don't wait until there's a fire to know what the safety drill is, right? Amen. You don't want to learn how to get out the house when there's a fire. You need to have a little safety practice before. See, if you have been able to be praying before you had a need, then praying when you have a need is not going to be such a big deal. Amen. And now you say, well, what do I have to pray for? Well, just thank God. If I get up a morning and I can't think of something that I need, I'm very happy to just say, Lord, I want to pray today, but I'm not asking for nothing. I just want to thank you that I don't have to ask for anything today. I want to lift up your name. I want to thank you. We get so complacent. We give up so easily. 7 times he went and checked. There was no rain. Finally, on the 7th time, his servant came back and said, well, you know what? I see a little cloud. He said, all right, we better run. You better run because you're going to get wet. The Bible said, and behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Jumping down, it said, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. See, when God shows up, he's going to show up. We may not have had the victory right away, but consistency. Do not give up. Do not let Satan discourage you. One of his biggest weapons is discouragement, because if he can delay it, he'll say, well, God's not listening to you. Remember now what his word is. Hath God said? Does God really love you? You know you messed up. He's not listening to you. And we give up. And we miss out on our blessing. Let me show you some more here. Once he prayed the 7th time, there was so much rain, they didn't know what to do. And it came to pass that meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. James speaks about this. He says, Elias was a man subject to like passion. He wasn't a superman. James, in the book of the New Testament, speaking about this event, he said, he was just an ordinary man, was subject to like passions as we are. He was a human being. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What James is saying, he wasn't some special, special person. He was just an ordinary person, but he had one thing. He had faith. He had a key of consistency. He had a weapon. That was faith, and he had another weapon that was prayer, and he had another weapon that was consistency. He believed God would do it, and he did not give up until he saw it. You see, when we pray, you have to understand the devil does not want you to get your answer, so he's going to try and delay it. Do not give up. Do not lose faith. Just keep on. Get back down on your knees. Spread yourself on the floor and call out to the one who can do it. You see, your angel may be in a fight. Your angel may be in a fight. He may need some help. He may need you to give him the power of attorney to be able to fight on your behalf. Amen. But we give up so much. We have powerful weapons. But the one thing that we give up on, sometimes we bring a knife to a gunfight. Our intellect, our reasoning, before giving it to God first, we try and work it out. It's only when it's a big mess and hopeless, then we say, well, I think we better pray about this. Let me show you another Old Testament example. Daniel. The Bible said that he prayed what? 3 times a day, consistently, day in, day out. In fact, he's one of only 2 people in the Old Testament where nothing ever negative was said about them. In fact, he prayed so much that it was the only thing that they could accuse him of. Can anybody accuse us of praying too much? Can anybody accuse us of worshiping too much? You know, there are 168 hours in the week. In the book of Micah, it speaks about tithing. Tithing, that we should tithe. And I truly believe that part of that is not just money, but our time. You know, we in this church, we have 3 services a week, right? We have Sunday and Tuesday. We have two services. So probably in total, we have maybe 6 hours of time. And unless you're sick or working or something, you ought to be able to tithe that to God. You really do. Part-time Christians will get part-time blessings. Might not like that, but it's the truth. Your relationship to God is important. I've said many times, do you think I could go up to Donald Trump and ask for some money? Why? He doesn't know me. I have no relationship. But if I was his son, then I might get some money. Maybe. Maybe with him it's not a surety. The point I'm making is we have no relationship all week with God, and then suddenly we have a crisis and we want him to jump on our problem instantly. And we have not had any relationship. The prodigal son could not get the ring and robe sitting in the pigsty. Right? He didn't have the fatted calf killed for him. He did not have himself until he got up and went back to Father's house. He could have shouted all he wanted in the pigsty, "Help!" Would anything have happened? No. And yet, as soon as we have a crisis, oh God, we want him to show up and fix it for us. When we have had not much of a relationship all that time. Sister Anita.
I'm here to tell all of those that don't believe that a relationship with God is not helpful. I'm telling you, from a person who did not have a relationship with God, and now that I do,
it's made a big difference.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Do you
Amen.
Hear me? Triumph.
Amen. Amen. See, Daniel had a relationship with God. There's no doubt about that. So when he got thrown into the lion's den, there was not a problem. God sent his angel, shut the mouth of the lion. And so when the king came, he said, oh, Daniel, now listen to what the king said. Does the God whom thou servest continually, not part-time, continually, has he been able to save you? No problem, king. The Lord whom I serve has sent his angel. When you serve him continually, when you're his servant, he'll show up. I'm telling you what the weapons of our warfare is. One of them is consistency. Consistency. In Revelation, the last church is the Laodicean church. God said, listen, you know what? You're not hot. You're not cold. You're lukewarm. Anyone like lukewarm coffee?
I like cold coffee.
Lukewarm. You know what? God said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You're not cold. You're not hot. I'm talking about the weapons of our warfare. You may even have a weapon, but if you haven't practiced it, you're not going to be very good. Now, what was that scripture? I know there's a scripture about something. In medieval times, the knights, they had to practice all the time. So when the battle came, it was just automatic. They didn't have to think about where their weapon is or what. You should have a scripture for every situation. Jesus did. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, you shall serve the Lord your God and him only. He had a scripture for every time the devil said some word. Do you? Let's go on. He kneeled down his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. He didn't suddenly start praying 3 times a day once the king made the rule. He had been praying, he'd been doing this all the time. Now, in Islam, they pray 5 times a day. They'll stop whatever they're doing, put out their prayer mat. I was at the Oasis off of 94, and there was a guy, guess he was Muslim, had a booth, and he looked at his watch, he shut up his booth, he put out his prayer mat right in the middle of the Oasis on 94 and just started his praying. He didn't care. You know, they put us to shame, don't they? You can have the weapon, but if you're not practiced in using it. We see that in the New Testament where the 7 sons of Sceva try to cast out some demons. And they said, in the name of Jesus, and the demon said, listen, Paul I know, Peter I know, but who are you? This is their first time on this trip. Consistency. Don't start praying when you're in the fire. Start praying before you get in the fire. We have mighty powerful weapons. We do. I'm telling you how you can get victory, how you can get blessing, how you can get healed, how you can get delivered. But we do not apply them consistently. Amen. As I said, even the angels, when they fight, it's not with their words. I'll show you this. Michael, who is described as the chief prince in Jude chapter 1, verse 9, Jude says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He didn't start throwing his own words and said, you filthy, no good, so-and-so, Satan, you. What did he say? The Lord rebuke you. The angels don't use their own words to fight. Do you see that? I'm giving you some stuff here today. I hope you will take it. Don't curse out people. Don't curse out people. If you have to say the Lord rebuke you, that is much more powerful. So even the archangel, he didn't use his own words. He didn't say, listen, you're a betrayer, you're a rebellious so-and-so. He didn't bring any accusation. All he said is, the Lord rebuke you. That's amazing, really, when you think about it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. But Satan has so deceived us and bamboozled us that we have forgotten or just don't understand how to fight. And even those of us who do know, we don't do it enough so that we can just instantly quote a scripture to the devil. Most of us, the only one we can quote is Jesus wept. Amen. Amen. I'm going to skip this because I showed you this before. But Jesus was our example. He said, it is written. That's what he did. Amen. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And he just said, it is written. I might not have no food right now. I might be not able to pay my bills, but it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Somehow, God, you're going to provide for me. He said, look at the birds. Did they clock in every day? Punch a time card? No. But your heavenly Father knows if one of them falls to the ground. If one of them falls to the ground, he knows about it. He says, the very hair on your head is numbered. Do you know God knows more about you than you know about you? The trouble is, do we actually believe that? The devil has deceived us and said, he doesn't care about you. You've messed up so much, he doesn't care about you. It's the same thing he said in the garden. He has used words in our mind. You may not have heard it, but it's been playing in the, hath God said? Hath God said? You're still sick. Why are you going to that church? Man, bed is so nice this Sunday morning. Just a little longer. That's how he speaks. That's how he fights. Amen. Even in Star Wars, they use the same type of weapons. So don't come to the devil with a knife. You got to come with the word of God. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11:14. See, when he needs to, he can transform himself to deceive you. For no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Come with very nice, sweet words to deceive you. Now, let me just show you another example in the Old Testament that our weapons are not carnal. 2 Kings 18:13. Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did King Sennacherib of Assyria come up against all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took them. He managed to take the cities one at a time until he came to Jerusalem. He had a huge army, almost 200,000 soldiers surrounding Jerusalem. There was no way really for Hezekiah and his people to fight. So you have to be careful what you say. This was the scripture I gave Tuesday night, and I want to give it again because it's so important. Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Have you been saying a lot of good things? Or have you been making railing accusations? What have you declared over your life? I gave the example Tuesday night. My mother, when I was 8 years old, turned around and pointed at me and she said, "You are blessed and you shall be blessed." And I've been living on that all my life. You need to declare victory. Tell Satan you're a liar. I'm not believing your report. Whose report shall we believe? I shall believe the word of the Lord. I shall live and not die. You need to declare some things, even if it looks impossible. That's right. Even if it looks impossible. Even if you can't see how it's going to be. It says, by thy words. There's a power here. There's a power when you do it through the Spirit. Declare some things. Pray over your children every night. Lay hands upon them. I showed how Isaac blessed Jacob. All he tried to cheat his brother out of the inheritance. In the end, he ran away with nothing, supposedly. But what he got was actually everything. He left with nothing but the blessing. That's all he needed. So in the end, he never actually got Isaac's inheritance, as far as the physical. But he got the one thing that mattered, the blessing from the Father. And once you have the blessing, Isaac said, I can't take it back. I'm sorry, Esau. He is blessed, and he shall be blessed. When you come into Christ, no matter what your life was before, you need to declare, I am a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. I don't care what family background. I don't care what you went through. You now have to declare, I'm a new creature. Satan, that was my past. That was yesterday. I'm a new creature today. I have God's blessing. I have his love. I have his Spirit. And I'm going to say positive words today. I declare today is going to be a great day. I'm going to leave this church feeling filled spiritually, lifted up. I'm going to worship. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to lift up his name. I'm going to declare victory in my life, over my family, over my job, over my finances. You understand, when you say that, you're actually fighting, for the weapons are not carnal. They're not knives, they're not guns. They are words of the Spirit. Now, I just took that little commercial break. Let's go back into the story. So, His general came and surrounded Jerusalem and started to, guess what? Guess what he was fighting with now? Words. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice to the Jews in the Jews' language, "Hey, don't you see how we've devastated everybody else? Why don't you guys just give up? You stand no chance." Do you know what he's doing? He's fighting with words. That was the devil. "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not your king Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand." And you know, the devil will speak truth. That was true. Hezekiah had no chance of delivering him. And this is how the devil will mix truth with lies. That was true. Hezekiah could not do it. But Hezekiah wasn't going to be the only one fighting. "For he shall not be able to deliver you out of the hand, neither let Hezekiah make you trust." Now, this is where the lie comes. It was true Hezekiah couldn't do it, but here's where the lie comes. "Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying the Lord will surely deliver." See how he mixed truth with lies? It was true Hezekiah couldn't do it. I can't do it. I shouldn't even say this. I don't know how I'm able to function in my job. God does it. It's not me. Hope they're not listening. Okay, I got to just button that up. The lie was the Lord will not surely deliver us. See, he said this from the beginning, from Genesis, hath God said. Most of us today are facing stuff this week. Anyone got no problems? If you got no problems, you should be running around this church shouting and jumping. All of us have got some choices this week that we've got to deal with. And I'm telling you, if we come and try and do it with our own knife intellect, we will lose. Because truly, we cannot deceive or beat Satan. But listen, we're not in this battle alone. If we use the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God. So here's the lie. The Lord will surely not deliver you, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hezekiah knew there's no way they could win. They were surrounded by 200,000. And so he used a weapon here. Again, they kept on, mocking. "Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" And then he started to quote all of the gods of the other nations. Hath Arpad? He started to quote all of the other cities that had been destroyed. But here's what you do when you're facing the devil. Do not speak to him. Do not answer him. Do not get into conversation with him. But the people held their peace. Eve's mistake was she actually started to talk with him. He started, "Hath God said that you can't eat any of the trees?" She started to have a conversation. The devil will start to play upon your mind and bring all defeat, and you start to think about the situation. Forget it. The key here is the people did not answer back the devil, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was, answer him not. Hezekiah was very wise. Don't get into an argument with the devil. Don't try and reason with the devil. Because you can't. You can't. Again, it would have been like taking a knife to a gunfight. Don't even start. Here's what Hezekiah did. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth. He knew how to fight. Where does he go? To the house of the Lord. That's where he went. He knew he can't go out there with weapons and try and defeat this army. He went to the house of the Lord. He was fighting on another level. He was fighting with weapons that were not carnal. And Hezekiah received letters of the hand of the messengers and read. And Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord. He took the threats and he gave it to God. Lord, this is what they're saying. This is their words. This is their weapons. Here, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I can't handle this. I don't know how to get out of this. I cannot win this. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. And you can read his prayer. But he knew what to do. He didn't try and go fight. He said, don't even speak to them people out there threatening us. He went to the house of the Lord. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou alone. You know what we do? We go to friends, we go to work, we try and work it out instead of going to God first. And we try and deal with the devil, we try and use words back at him, cuss him out, give him a piece of our mind. You will lose. He submitted the problem to God, and this is the key. The Bible says, submit to God, then you can resist the devil. Most of us, we try and resist the devil. We don't submit to God, and we're going to lose. 2 Kings 19, 32. See, when you do it the right way, God will fight for you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come back against it with a shield, nor cast a ramp against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city. See, when God speaks a word, then that's a real fight. He's fighting on your behalf. So for the Lord says, for I will defend the city. And you know the story. The angel of the Lord went out, and 180,000 of his army was destroyed. God let a few left so that they could go back and tell the story, not to come back here. If he'd wiped them all out, nobody would have known the story. But he only killed 180,000 so that there was enough to go back and say, you know what? We better let them Israelites alone. Their God is not the same as the God of those other cities. He's a real God. And if you mess with them, he's got a word for you. Because God said, for I will defend this city. Hezekiah did the right thing. He didn't try and talk with these people. He didn't try and fight them. He used the weapon of our warfare. We're not given riches necessarily. You can't, you know, money doesn't buy you happiness. A lot of rich people commit suicide. We think most of us who don't have that would solve our problems. But it probably wouldn't. All it would do is bring other problems. Maybe we wouldn't be hungry and naked, but we'd have other problems. Maybe we wouldn't even be in church. That'd be the worst problem. We have to understand how we war. We can't war in the way that the world wars. And the way to fight our battle is with the word. Amen. That's how we fight our battle. If you could stand with me, I'm finishing on time. Because this is Mother's Day and we got a lot to do. Submission to God is what brings results. If you have a problem today, if you're fighting some issues and you've been trying to work it out, give that up. The little boy with the two loaves and five fishes, you think if he had started going between people and giving them a piece, it would have fed 5,000? But once he gave it to Jesus, the situation changed. Whatever you give to God, he says, nobody can pluck it out of my hand. Nothing, nobody can pluck it out. Once you give yourself to God, you may lose material things, but your soul is safe. Your soul is sealed. Sometimes we have to go to the place where we have no choice before we acknowledge him. Bible says, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your path. Oh, I've had to learn that lesson several times where I thought, man, this is what I'll do. This is how I'm going to get out of this. And I spent a whole bunch of money and lost it all too because I left by my own understanding. It's terrible when you have to learn the same lesson over and over again. Stay in the same grade. They used to make people stay in the grade if they didn't. I don't think they do that anymore, right? But you know, in the spiritual, that happens to us. Sometimes you find yourself back at the same spot because you haven't learned the lesson that you have to submit to God to really be able to defeat the enemy. Right now, some of us, he's whispering and saying, man, you face a bad situation. It's hopeless. With man, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. You need to just decide to tell the devil, listen, I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you a word, Satan. God loves me, and he's promised to never forsake me. Amen. That's what you can say. If you can't quote anything else, just say he promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. That's right. In every temptation, look for the way of escape because he has promised. And as I've said, sometimes the way of escape is in the fire. He never stopped Nebuchadnezzar from throwing them three Hebrew boys in the fire. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked, I only threw three in there, but I see four. Amen. Bible says, underneath are the everlasting arms. God will deliver you. He will deliver you. We have to get to the place where we're consistent, where we give God his time, where we pray. Amen. And then most of all, we submit. Amen. We hold our peace to the devil and submit to God. If Eve hadn't started up a conversation when he was going in that direction, she would never have ended up. Hezekiah said, don't even say a word to that man out there. Let him rant and rave. Let the devil rant and rave. You know, because it's very hard to have a one-person conversation. That infuriates the enemy when you just walk away. You know, that infuriates the enemy when you just walk away. Fine. Just keep, I'm done. I'm going to submit it to God. I'm going to give it to God. Let him come back and fight with you. See, Peter tried that. He drew his sword and cut off the high priest. And Jesus said, wait a minute. That's not the plan here, Peter. That's not the plan. There's a different plan happening right now, Peter. Sometimes in our zeal, we think we got to draw the sword and start cutting. God says, just hold up here. Hezekiah, I got this. You came to me, you submitted, and I'm going to send them back by the way they came, but it's going to be a lot less of them. When God does the work, it is done well. I'm trying to close, but I want to encourage you today. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the weapon is the word of God. How you use it is through prayer, consistency, and submission. If you remember those four things today, you're going to have a great week. I challenge you to declare some victory in your life. Just say some things. It says, by your words, you will be justified. That means you have to say, God loves me. I am his child. I am going to be successful. It says, by your words, you are justified. We need to do some speaking out to Satan. Say, Satan, you're a liar. Let's just say that. Satan, amen. And you need to do that every day. When you get up tomorrow morning, just tell him, Satan, you're a liar. Whatever demons hanging around, you better get from me because I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be submitted. I'm going to be consistent. And I'm not having any conversations with you, Satan. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we just thank you today for your blessing, for your word, for your anointing, for your love. Most of all, oh God, that you came, hallelujah, and you gave us the opportunity.